these plagiarism allegations, where Claudine Gay has had to issue corrections, multiple corrections. Now, we should note that Claudine Gay has not been accused of stealing anyone's ideas in any of her writings. She's been accused of sort of a, more like copying other people's writings without attribution. So it's been more sloppy attribution than stealing anyone's
ideas.
That
is such a BS. That is such a BS defense. Oh my gosh. That is, you're giving the gays a bad name even. Stop it. I've been waiting to do that one. Welcome back to the show, everybody. Happy New Year. Yeah. It is 2024 already. Dana Lash here with you, back behind the mic. It's good to be here. Can we just start with this right now as you're listening coast to coast, as everybody's joining, as you're joining the simulcast that you can check out, if you're listening, if you're streaming it, if you're listening, you know, terrestrially, you're watching the simulcast via channel, I already forgot, 347. I remembered. Thanks, Juan. DirecTV or YouTube or Facebook. So I just, this is probably my favorite soundbite of this whole Claudine Gay thing. Now, maybe you were making merry. I don't know. Maybe you were. Maybe you were making some merry over, you know, this Christmas season, as we all were. And so you had this story with the president of Harvard who just, you know, plagiarized all the things, apparently. They think it's okay. The left does, because that's all they do. I mean, for crying out loud, you got a guy sitting in the White House who plagiarized. He had to drop out of a presidential race because he was plagiarized. He got caught plagiarizing. And this is a serious thing because these are Harvard's own actual rules. I mean, this is literally what Harvard's rules are. So now you have this defense. They're trying to circle the wagon. She was hit with six new charges of plagiarism. Claudine Gay was. So you have these six new charges. It was a complaint that was filed with the university. They said that 17 of her published works have already been impacted by this scandal. They said the new charges were not previously reported. Now, and there's an eighth one. You have this 2001 article in which she literally lifts a half a page of material verbatim from a scholar named David Cannon, who is a political science professor at the University of Wisconsin. It, and the article was titled "The Effect of Minority Districts and Minority Representation on Political Participation in California." And they look at, this is crazy. She literally took four sentences from his 1999 book on race, and she doesn't cite him. She doesn't, he doesn't appear anywhere in the bibliography, nowhere. Beyond that, her footnotes, the Beacon reported, were copied verbatim from his endnotes. Like, she didn't even write her own footnotes. She just copied everything absolutely verbatim. Verbatim. Like, for instance, the Voting Rights Act, this is David Cannon, quote, "The Voting Rights Act is often cited as one of the most significant pieces of civil rights legislation passed in our nation's history." This is Claudine Gay. "The Voting Rights Act of 1965 is often cited as one of the most significant pieces of civil rights legislation passed in our nation's history." Here's another. I know. This is David Cannon. "The central parts of the VRA are Section 2 and Section 5. The former prohibits any state or political subdivision from imposing a voting practice that will deny or abridge the right of any citizen of the United States to vote on the account of race or color, and the latter was imposed only on covered jurisdictions with a history of past discrimination. They have to submit changes in any electoral process or mechanism to the federal government." She writes, this is Claudine Gay, quote, "The central parts of the measure are Section 2 and Section 5. They say that prohibits any state or political subdivision from adopting voting." I mean, literally, literally the same. It is the same. I mean, we go on and on and on. She has so many examples of this. So the, I mean, it took them no time to complete this review. Obviously, it didn't take them long at all to complete this review because she's, I mean, it's just it's so obvious. I mean, they had what, her dissertation, they had, she lifted a full sentence from her thesis advisor to describe a mathematical model. She doesn't cite anybody. She doesn't give any attributions to anybody. She just takes their whole, I mean, there are so many examples, page after page after page after page after page. Now, when you get to this level of academics, you know that you are to cite your work. Everybody knows this. I mean, this is like basic humanity. This is basic writing and college garbage 101. Everybody, you cite everything. In fact, there are entire classes in college that are requirements for underclassmen that teach you how to cite things properly. I mean, my kid in college has to take a whole thing, which is so stupid, but to cite things, but they teach it in high school. So there's no excuse on sloppy attribution. That doesn't exist. There's plagiarism and there's not plagiarism. When you get to be this level in academics, there's no sloppy attributions. There's no, I just forgot to give credit. There's none of that. This was on purpose. And you know, the sad thing about this is that it also highlights the low standards that the left has for itself. Someone was asking online, well, you know, just wait until the right, a right-leaning academic decides. There's no such thing as a right-leaning academic. And I don't say that as a way to insult the intelligence of the right. The flattery of these, of this educational iconography, we just don't get into. We just don't do all that stuff. I mean, we don't treat our universities and these educational institutions as substitutes for church, which is what these people do. This is like their ministerium. I don't know what to call it. It's crazy. And so there's 25 pages, just the newest charges. There are 25 pages. So now apparently everybody's trying to redefine all the wording, all the verbiage. They're trying to make very interesting phrases to say plagiarism without saying plagiarism, like the audio that we just played for you as we were coming into this, to this segment. Well, how did they say it, Kane? She just borrowed it.
Yeah. What? It's not like she stole anything.
She didn't steal it because that would, you know, see, that would give
borrowed it.
Yeah, she borrowed it because that would give, that would cast aspersions on her character, which is apparently racist to do so. Even though this is something that she did herself. I mean, she did it herself. So she wasn't accused of stealing their ideas. She's accused of like copying them without attribution. Well, there's no such thing as copying without attribution is plagiarizing. It's so goofy. Now listen to this. Mara Gay, again, they're making all the gays look bad. Audio soundbite 4, listen to this.
That's why these presidents are under attack. That's why Claudine Gay was under attack. The fact that she's a black woman and the first person who is a black American to lead Harvard only added to their thirst to dethrone her. And, you know, those attacks, I don't have to say that they're racist because you can hear and see the racism, the attacks, when people like Vivek Ramaswamy say, okay, this is a problem about diversity and hiring. I mean, this is racism.
It's racism. How is it racism? That's the million-dollar question. How is it racism? I mean, it's rhetorical because it's not. And the idea that that's going to be now the excuse. And Mara Gay, what was this, on MSNBC? Because Claudine Gay resigned. And they said the fact that she had to do so, that's just, you know, it's an attack. Al Sharpton came out. He had a statement saying that, how did he put it? This was it's an attack on black women everywhere. I would think that it's an attack on plagiarism. Your race is irrelevant. But are you trying to say now that you can't expect minorities in academic institutions to present original work? That you're going to redefine the rules and lower the bar of expectation, which to me signals, if you want to have an actual example of racism, the fact that you think that people of color can't meet the same level of standards that everyone else can, that's actual racism. You're lowering your expectations for someone else based upon their ethnicity, which makes you very clannish. We have a lot more on this too, because they are circling the wagons. But I think this was a huge... It was a win, but yet it's kind of fearic. And here's why. She's keeping her package. You guys heard this, right? She's legit keeping her almost $1 million salary. So she's resigning, but she's keeping all her money. As the New York Post that had that piece. Can you imagine how many scholarships that would actually pay for at Harvard? Can you imagine? And she wasn't vetted beforehand. That's crazy to me. Yeah, she's getting her. It's actually over. New York Post says it's 800,000, but it's over 800,000. It's like 900 something 30. You know, I think in total, it's a $1.3 million package with her benefits and everything else. She gets to keep all of it. She lied to get her job, and she gets to keep all of it. Now, I don't know what caveats were placed on it, but yeah, she's just wild. Now, one thing I do believe that we have to be careful with and going forward on this is there are going to be a lot of Republicans. And I've noticed that these are Republicans that are eager to double down and make more wins out of this, which I think is totally fine. But I don't think that this calls for any kind of federal regulation. You can't have, unless they get federal money, you can't have the government going in and regulating all of these educational institutions. I mean, isn't that what we're arguing against right now as constitutional conservatives? I do think we have to be very careful with that. We're going to talk more about that going forward. Some of the other things that we're looking at, because, you know, you probably missed some stuff while you were making merry. Biden spent 142 days on vacation. He came back totally burnt. The memes that I saw yesterday were glorious. Hat tip to Midnight Mitch because he had the best ones. Biden spent 142 days on vacation. He came back last night. He was so red that even under the cover of darkness, you could see how red he was. His face looked like, well, he looked like Kramer from Seinfeld. Those were all the memes when Kramer was the turkey and all this. He looked, didn't he just have skin cancer? He just had skin cancer and he was treated for skin cancer. The doctor said, oh yeah, he was treated, but he's fine now. He's okay. And then he goes out. Who the hell left him on the beach? Did you guys see some of this? They left him straight up on the beach, I guess. And he just, they didn't bother to sunblock him up. They just left him. Did they think he was dead? Weekend at Bernie style? I don't know. They just left him out there. So he came back. Here's how the press described it. A wicked sunburn. Wicked. He was on the beach in St. Croix for 7 days. And he came back. And they said the sun's rays apparently battered Biden. They described him as being beat red from his, he wasn't tan. Dude was straight up red. Red. Is he? He's like gonna, I guess he really is trying to compete with Trump. I don't know. But he's, shut up. You know, it was a legitimate laugh. But everyone was remarking, he came back in the cover of night and he was just red as a beet. So I just, you know, you just got cleared for skin cancer and this is happening.
Maybe they thought he needs a lot more sun than he's getting.
Well, what are all of his, somebody made the point, what are all of his clones going to do now? They're going to have to go out and get sunburned too.
That's a great point.
All of his stand-ins are going to have to go out and get sunburned in the exact same way.
Did his mask get sunburned?
He looks like a cookie that was baked in the oven and the convection was wrong because it's redder on one side than it is on the other. He's like underdone a little bit on the other side. Just saying. Also, the Epstein list. We still have to touch on this. I haven't even gotten a third through this first segment, guys. We got to touch on that because apparently Bill Clinton's expected to be named. There's been some legal posturing. Now it's not expected towards the end of the month. I'm going to explain that. We're going to get into that. The illegal immigration situation going to Chicago. Oh, my gosh. Iowa. A new and spectacular FBI building. Seriously.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
All right. So apparently there's they call them the nor'easter, a new nor'easter, a northeasterner. I don't know, a storm. It's going to blanket New York, Philly, and other parts of the East Coast with snow, and it's going to flood the South. And all you're going to hear about is there's snow in the East Coast. Wow. In winter, such shock. They said it's going to be here's where I pretend to be a meteorologist. An area of low pressure is going to develop late Friday. Blah, blah, blah. I don't care. Just, you know what? Be careful out there. Y'all people that live out there, y'all are used to the snow. Deal with it. All right, moving on. Green Day, who I hate because they're fake mall punk. I hate them. They came out, their first album, Dookie, they mimicked a British accent. Everybody thought they were British when they came out with that. Remember? Literally everybody thought that they came out, that they were British when they first came out. That first song, Longview. Anyway, hate them. They decided that they're going to try. They did a whole bunch of stuff and went after voters, Republican voters on New Year's Eve. And I didn't watch it because I don't like to torture myself with mall rat music. Moving on. It's true. This is crazy. So there was a Jet Inferno. Sounds like it could be potentially a new band name, but hold up. A Japanese Airlines, a plane erupted into flames after colliding with a Coast Guard aircraft at Tokyo's Haneda Airport on Tuesday. They're having a tough time. So Japan had these crazy earthquakes. They had tsunami warnings. They have a friend that's in Osaka right now playing a show. They had all of these, you know, these tsunami and other smaller earthquake warnings, etc. Now they had this at one of their airports. So They've been on the struggle bus this week. A man was found inside of a plane engine, not alive, at the Salt Lake City airport. Passengers on a Delta flight from Salt Lake City to San Francisco were on board when the incident happened. A 30-year-old dude was found dead inside this airplane engine. Wow, golly, 95 passengers. So they identified the guy as a resident of Park City. He was a ticketed passenger with a boarding pass to Denver. The engines were rotating, but whether they were fully running is still being investigated. They said that the incident didn't affect overall operations, but they said that he was given... apparently he had a, they gave him, they didn't say that he had a drug overdose, but they gave him medication that would reverse a drug overdose on site, which makes you think it was a drug overdose. Good grief. Like, how does that happen? How do you just wander onto the plane, onto the tarmac like that? Stick with us because we got a lot more in store. Iowa is now just 2 weeks away. Our friends over at Caltech, the P15, if you're unfamiliar with the P15, you know, Caltech has always been incredibly innovative, and this is not an exception either. It's two versions of this. You have the metal version, you have the polymer version. It's compact, lightweight, the perfect go-to, smallest, lightest, 9mm on the market. Lightest, slimmest, double stack concealed carry, 9mm on the market. So unloaded, it's like 14 ounces, 15 plus one rounds. You have the Tritium fiber optic front sight, fully adjustable fiber optic rear, striker fire reliability, super nice trigger as well. Now the P15 has the polymer. Like I said, the metal frame is awesome. This is, I mean, I love the polymer version too, but that got them nice wood grips on that metal one. That makes it really look vintage, like think 1960s era James Bond vintage. But just the same game-changing Caltech innovation in quality and reliability and performance. So for public safety and self-defense, this should be your in your EDC rotation. Make the P15 your concealed carry go-to. Learn more at KeltechWeepons.com. That's KeltechWeepons.com. Tell them that Dana sent you.
The virtue signaling has come to roost. As the U.S. reaches its highest level of illegal border crossings ever recorded, are leftist mayors still calling their city sanctuary cities? Now that the problem is visible, these cities are on the brink of collapse. Check out the Watchdog on Wall Street podcast on Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast.
Looking for the drive-through version of the Dana Show? Check out the best highlights from every show and Dana's Absurd Truth podcast, posted daily from the Dana Show.
You know, I'm very thrilled about the project because I think what we are about to create is something very special. And we're in 2024 now. And I think it's about time that we had a woman come forward to shape the story in a galaxy far, far away.
Well, oh my gosh, can we just not do this? This is, what's her name? Obichanoy?
Yeah.
That's her name. That is that woman's name. Happy 2024 to me. Welcome back. Dana Lash here with you. Wink. Apparently, she's a director who's going to further ruin Star Wars. Like, the Star Wars people, the Disney people thought, you know what? We didn't drop a big enough of a deuce into the whole franchise. So let's drop a turbo deuce. Let's turbo deuce it up into this franchise. That's what's happening. So they got this chick. What's this chick's name? Something Obichanoid. That's what her name is. I'm saying her name, and you guys are just like, I am being a professional radio lady.
You're saying it correctly.
Charmaine Obichanoid is her name. That is legit her name. Stop. That's so her name. She is there. I love all the hyphenated everything. Pakistani Canadian director. Oh, nobody cares. Nobody cares where the hell you're from. We're talking sci-fi, okay? I just spent most of my break playing Warhammer, so I really don't care where you're from. It's not going to be anywhere more exotic than any of the things that I've dealt with over the past, like, you know, week plus. Not going to be. But Kane made a very good point, because they came out and they're like, oh, we're going to have the first woman of color do this film. And then Kane very, I mean, obviously says, well, is she invisible? Because she is a color. I mean, she's peach.
Right. I mean, we're all, if you're we're peach, not invisible.
Bitch. What?
If we're not invisible, we are of color. That's just the way it is.
What is this whole person of color?
We're all people of color.
She looks like any other white lady, if I'm being honest with you. Mrs. Obichanoy. Obichanoy. Right? Yeah, that's
it.
I mean, two words that I would use to describe third waivers in one last name. And they, I don't know what she thinks, like, women are going to have to shape. What does that make her a good director? I mean, haven't they lost over half their value? They're still, they love burning money. They don't need fossil fuels or any kind of solar or electric power. They burn cash money. That's what they use for energy. So they did, they literally did a whole thing where they had a woman shape the story for Star Wars. And it was that Mary Sue named Rey, right? All of a sudden, she was a sucky Jedi. And then she was great, like, immediately. And with her little buns. And she went in, her hair buns. And she went in and she fought old man Luke. And it was crazy. Didn't that already shape it? I mean, what is the difference in the way... You know who... I think Gina Carano, that, what is it? That was a good shape of any part of a trilogy. But this is just more of the same. I'm just not interested in watching it. First off, I think it's oversaturated. I'm so sick of, they're making me feel like Martin Scorsese, where he was going off on superhero films, like, what, a year ago or so, a couple of years ago. It was the same year that Ricky Gervais just excoriated everyone at the Golden Globes. One of the best hostings ever. And Scorsese was saying that he was tired of, he said it was lazy filmmaking, which I think it is. I agree with him to an extent. I mean, I think they can be great movies, but it is lazy filmmaking. And now it's oversaturated. Everything is superhero, everything. Even on streaming services. I did check out, and I'm going to get back to the meat and potatoes. It was Zack Snyder's, what is it, Rebel Moon? It was really, I think it could have been edited a hell of a lot better than it was. But he did this film and was pitching it to be a Disney story, or Star Wars, sorry, a Star Wars story, which you can tell if you watch it. Do we remember what it was streaming on? Rebel Moon. It's on one of the streaming services like Hulu or Netflix or something like that. But watched it over break, and it was actually, I thought the story was good and the characters were compelling, but I think it could have been perhaps put together for screen a little bit better, because parts of it were rushed and parts of it dragged and it was a little bit convoluted, but it had a great universe, but they had to kind of rewrite everything to take it away. It's on Netflix, to take it out of that Star Wars universe and make it stand alone. So you can kind of tell when you're watching it, and you might even think this would make a great Star Wars film. And that was Snyder that did that, the guy who did 300, who, word on the street is that he's very like-minded, by the way. I don't know. I'm not going to watch this because I think the Star Wars thing is so oversaturated at this point. So over just everything. I feel like a lot of the people even at Disney don't even understand what is done with the films that they did. Because didn't George Lucas's wife totally edit? Didn't she edit one of the, I think maybe, was it Rey's story? That one? His wife, like, completely edited one of the films. If you want to talk about a woman shaping a film. But these, apparently the morons and acquisitions at Disney don't even understand this. It's just so stupid. I'm so tired of hearing about vagina. So here, we're going to check this box. It's dumb and it makes me hate Hollywood even more than I already do. It makes me hate films. Stop it. Stop doing this. Now, we got to talk about Iowa. Let's just go right into it, right? I'm going to say two things. Actually, maybe three. So for three things that I've noticed, and this all just kind of happened within, I guess, the last week. So you have a debate coming up, between Haley and DeSantis for Iowans, because Iowa is going to be what, Kane, in 2 weeks, if that? The first measure of who's going to be the Republican nominee in 2024. And two things, I think that it was lame. I don't think that Fox should be doing standalone town halls. They said that they were doing a town hall with Trump the same night that DeSantis and Haley are having their debate. Now, I think it's fine if you want to say, well, I don't have anything to fear, so I don't feel the need to debate. That's fine to say that. But if you don't have anything to fear and you don't feel like you should answer for anything, then why in the world are you doing a town hall? If you don't feel like you have to answer for anything or talk to anyone about anything, which has been repeatedly stated, then why even do a town hall? So I think it was, one, lame of Fox to do a town hall competing with the debate. I think, two, I think it's lame for the RNC to keep greenlighting these debates without everyone being a part of it. And three, I think the establishment absolutely hates Ron DeSantis. They hate him with the burning passion of a thousand suns. And I got to tell you, I got to put it all on the table here for a moment, because the establishment has hated this man. They have hated Ron DeSantis since he helped to co-found the Freedom Caucus, back when many of us were in the streets launching the Tea Party. And I was one of the handful of founders on that very first phone call, or helping to organize all of these rallies all across the country back in like 08 or 09. So we laid the stage for Trump in 2016. You would not have Trump at all were it not for the Tea Party. That is unarguable. That's the first irrevocable truth. The second is that the establishment hated DeSantis back then. I distinctly remember all of the arrows that went his way from the establishment toadies who were livid that there were Republicans that dared to defy the GOP authority and launch this very grassroots Tea Party caucus within the House. They were livid over this. They went at these lawmakers. They trashed them. I remember going on cable news and arguing with people about this, other Republicans, and arguing with other Republicans about this. So I remember while we were out there fighting for our medical and financial freedoms, when we were out there battling, I mean, I went on my own time and my own dime. I paid my own way, my own flights, my own hotel, my own meals. I did not take a cent. And I did this for years, helping in state after, because I believed in it and still do that much. I didn't need to be a grifter like a lot of these people that you see on there, because that's not what I was in it for. I want to be left alone, genuinely. So whatever I have to do to achieve that end, I'm going to do. And all over the country, and as we were sitting here, I was in South Carolina, I was in North Carolina, where, I mean, I was in Virginia, I was everywhere. And there were some people who did get paid, or some people that got their lodgings taken care of. I didn't have to. So I'm like, save your money and use it for ad buys. Save it and use it for infrastructure for phone banking. Save it and use it to advance this cause. And we were out there literally in the streets. We were going door to door. We were in, everything. And I wasn't too good. I was on the radio even then. And I wasn't too damn good to do any of this, nor is anybody else. And sometimes it was even more effective, because I could, somebody would be like, oh, I don't really want to talk to a regular canvasser. And then I would show up and I'm like, well, you listen to my show, blah, blah, blah. So let's talk. But anyway, long story short, I remember all of the attacks at all. It was him and the other people starting the Freedom Caucus with him. They still hate him to this day. I want you to pay attention to all the people who have been endorsing whom. There is a very distinct line in the sand, folks. All the people that are part of the establishment, they're not endorsing DeSantis. Now, you can like whomever you like. I'm not making the case for any politician. But what I am going to tell you is that the establishment is trying to gaslight you. The establishment that protected Fauci. The establishment that allowed for the largest economic shutdown in this nation's in world history, shut down our economy. The establishment that didn't want you to send your kids to school. That same establishment hated this man then. They hate him now. The same establishment that was apoplectic. I can't believe you said that Ukraine was a territorial dispute, which it is. The same establishment, but now they're trying to gaslight you. They're trying to co-opt your positions and lie to you and make you believe that those are their own. But see, we see them because we've been watching. We've been through this whole thing before. The same people calling us hobbits are the same ones now that are telling you to shut up and get in line. They're telling you that primaries are irrelevant. They're telling you, well, it's just all a done deal. So, you know, which is, by the way, one of the most anti-American things I've ever heard. I had people in my family that fought and shed blood. So did you. To preserve the way that we govern ourselves. We have primaries in this country because we're Americans. This isn't a monarchy. I've said this for years. We have primaries. We go through the whole process. It is anti-American as hell to demand otherwise. And you should be suspect of the character and motivations of anyone who tells you so. And it's been very fascinating, too, to watch some of these Republican leaders out there that have very progressive voting records to see where they go. Pretend that they've been down with this constitutional conservatism from the get-go, which they haven't. We're not going to let them rewrite history. We see you. Now, these people still hate the Tea Party. I remember this very well. And it's also very interesting to watch a Republican National Committee, an RNC, that is absolutely uninterested in giving us, the voters, a full primary to the people on which it depends for its political life. The fracture between constitutional conservatives and the party cogs was never actually repaired. We just decided unofficially we're going to set some disagreements to the side right now for the better of the country and move forward. But they decided that they were going to try to be sneaky about it, thinking that we were stupid and we wouldn't catch on. Once a snake, always a snake. Don't let these people gaslight you. The same ones that called you hobbits are now telling you to shut up and get in line. The same ones that shut you down are telling you to shut up and get in line. I'm not having it, nor should you.
Don't let FOMO get the best of you. Stay in the loop and ahead of the curve by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
You got any theories as to why the adoption curve may not be what some forecasted a couple of years ago?
Yeah, I mean, at the outset, I want to make clear it's still growing. It's just a matter of the rate of growth. But we are seeing it go through some ups and downs. We need to make sure that we keep pushing the upfront cost, the sticker price of EVs into a range where more and more Americans feel like it's to their benefit and feel confident making that choice. But we know that there are going to be some fluctuations. We also have to make sure there's the charging infrastructure to support that for long road trips. And simultaneously, we need to make sure that there's a level of education domestically about the charging capacity many people already have and don't know it. What I mean by that is a majority of Americans live in a single-family home where they we might be surprised to realize that all you need technically for charging infrastructure is a plug in the wall.
EV stuff to you. That's the... Yeah, that's Mayor Secretary Buttigieg, who don't... You know what? We are continuing with the respectful tradition of following the Biden pronunciation of his name. So don't give me any smack about it. He says there has to be a level of education domestically so more people can buy EVs. Or maybe, I don't know, they're broke and they can't. I watched this thing. This guy was taking an EV, driving it from East Coast to Midwest. And he said that when they were charging their battery, they woke up. And they said like 15% capacity was already gone just because of the cold. Because, you know, cold weather and batteries. Well, they work great together. Don't listen to science, right? I mean, you can chop off your willy and you can be a chick and you can, you know, be a dude and go into boxing, which we're going to talk about and all this other stuff. So let's just go ahead and lie about how EVs work. Why not? Right? Oh, and they're super affordable too. There's that. They're also very, very affordable. Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Very affordable, as you know. So he's still there. No one. He was the diversity hire. Buttigieg was. He really was. Now, some of the other stuff that we're hitting as we roll into our second hour, we've got recent polling from Iowa. Could Chris Christie complicate Nikki Haley's path in New Hampshire? We're going to discuss that. Plus, Democrats are now unveiling a string of eco regulations in their latest appliance crackdown, this time targeting your fridges and freezers. So we got to get into that. I got some latest with foreign policy as well that we'll touch on just so you're aware of what's happening. And of course, all of the latest with the Claudine Gay resignation. And how dare you notice the plagiarism? You know, the people who insist on using the term insurrection to describe J6, they're very sensitive on using the term plagiarism to describe plagiarism. Interesting thing here. So we got a lot of stuff on the way. Plus, Congressman Chip Roy, that big old rhino, apparently. I don't know. We'll talk to him coming up. Stick with us.
Well, because places like Harvard have been captured by a militant left ideology. And so it's not about academic excellence like universities used to be geared toward in this country. It's really about promoting their vision of so-called social justice. So it's got a massive endowment. It's basically a hedge fund with an indoctrination camp attached to it. That is academia run amok. That is not going to be successful for this country.
That is absolutely right. He's made a lot of really good remarks about the educational hierarchy and schemes just the past couple of weeks. Welcome back to the show. Top of the second hour, our first show back to start the new year here in 2024. Dana Loesch with you. You can listen coast to coast. You can also find us, if you're not listening terrestrially, you can stream the radio program. You can watch the simulcast. It's a radio program, but we have a video component with it that you can watch on Channel 347 DirecTV, as well as Facebook and YouTube. Join the chat. I think they're back for the first time. All the people in that group are back for the first time, too, in 2024. So this story is so much more than just Clouding Gay with Harvard. I think it shows you, it highlights two things. The extent to which the left will go to achieve their own ends, violating their own rules. They don't have rules. They have rules that they want you to follow, but they would just, they're not really rules for them. I don't know why these people prize academics so much when they have no objections to the amount of plagiarism that this woman is being accused. I mean, I don't even want to say she's just being accused of it. She legit did it. I could sit here for the rest of the hour. I'd probably need more because 29 something pages of accusations that have been leveled at her with all these examples. So I'd probably need more than maybe just the remainder of our 2 hours here on broadcast. But she absolutely just copied and pasted other people's words as her own. And that was it. And they said that she just was sloppy with attribution. And my whole point is that at this level, you're president of Harvard. Attribution is something that is ingrained into your cerebral cortex. There are entire classes for undergrads that are required to teach you how to write and cite. Very, very well known. So the idea that you could get to this level in the progressive academic hierarchy and not understand proper attribution is an insult to the people you expect to buy that lie. Because they have to be so stupid that they take your excuse at face value. And nobody does. Harvard has kicked out students for less plagiarism than Clouding Gay is being proved of doing. Now, here's the thing. She's resigned, but she wasn't fired. There's not really a huge victory here. It's kind of pyrrhic. She's staying on, according to New York Post. She's going to retain her same salary level as president. She's just not going to be president of Harvard. She's, in fact, going to just kind of kick down to just being a member of their politics department. And that's it. That's it. Her salary, I think, was a little over $879,000 with benefits and everything else. It was $1.3. And she only served, she was only president for 6 months. That was it. Her predecessor, he got 1.3 before he left, but he was there for a little bit longer. But apparently she got, pretty much the same salary because she's a woman and she's a black woman. And that apparently, it doesn't matter how hard you study. Apparently if you have a vagina and if you're a person, quote unquote, of color, everybody's color, then that apparently means that you also studied? I don't know. That's their logic, not mine. But it makes the school look cheap. It makes it look like a joke. One of the other things it also showcases is that the left has zero standards when it comes for themselves. Describe to me something more racist than lowering the standard of expectation for people of color because you think that they can't perform at the same level as people who are not of color. That is the absolute practice in the physical realm of racism. And that's what the left is doing. That's what they do. It's what they were doing with educational regulations in California when they lowered, they started getting rid of honors classes and then they lowered the requirements for mathematical testing because they were saying that their minority students couldn't perform at the same level as their non-minority students, which I thought, wow, so you're just going to say, oh, well, they're too dumb, so we're giving up? This is what we know this about the left. But this, is it going to matter to other people on the left? I don't think it matters to them. It's their institution of information distribution and brainwashing. I don't think it matters to them. A lot of people just still like having the ability to say that they went to Harvard, which I never understood that. I knew people who were real snotty about that, who got into knockdown dragouts. I remember, in fact, my friend and late mentor, Andrew Breitbart, yelling at Steve Bannon about that, because Bannon used to be like, oh, I'm, you know, Ivy League, blah, blah, blah. And Breitbart's like, that doesn't matter. None of this stuff matters. That's all so stupid. And none of it matters. It doesn't matter. But it matters even to some people on the right. It matters very much to some people on the left. It's a racket. And they're, you know, DeSantis mentioned they're basically hedge funds, which they are at this point. I can't remember. Wasn't their endowment like a billion something? Something crazy. So instead of making a college more affordable, they're going to pay her. That's it. They've lost $1 billion in donations. And everyone, the left, are circling their wagons and they're trying to say that it's racism. That's the reason why. No, it's because she's a plagiarist. That's why. Now, I want to switch gears here, because we were talking about Iowa before we were getting going last hour. Iowa's just 2 weeks away, guys. 2 weeks away. And I've said before, and I was explaining last hour, how I think the establishment absolutely hates Ron DeSantis, because all the people that I saw coming up as a founding member of the Tea Party 2.0, who was out in the streets in 2008 from then on, traveling around on my own time and my own dime to help fight for medical liberty, financial freedom, all of that other stuff. And I remember the founding of the Freedom Caucus. DeSantis was one of the founding members of that. And I remember them getting so much heat from the establishment, who were screaming at them and saying that they were traitors and all this other stuff. Oh my gosh, I remember at CPAC, I would be excoriated by some establishment member who would see me in the hallway and yell at me because I was a member of the Tea Party. I mean, good grief, this has happened. I think I've gotten to fights with almost every member of the establishment. They hated the Freedom Caucus. They hated all of the people that founded it. And they still hate DeSantis today, which is why none of them will endorse him. They don't want to endorse. They hate this guy. They hate him because he's anti-establishment, like genuinely. I was looking at some of the recent polling on this. There's a couple of different polls that are out, and they're sort of all over the place. I'm going to pull a couple of things up, especially some of the national stuff. They're now looking at how this would play nationally with, I was looking at this YouGov poll with Biden and Trump. So Biden and Trump are literally neck and neck, according to this latest YouGov poll. And I was looking at the crosstabs earlier at 44%. And Biden just beats the tar out of Haley, 41 to 36. He's got a +5 over her. According to this YouGov poll, it's like a +2 with DeSantis. He's almost a +1 with Trump. He's almost there, but it's essentially 44 to 44. And that is from this YouGov poll. It's an economist YouGov poll that was sampled December 31st through January 2nd. And looking at it, I mean, it was I want to caution people about some of the polling. Because in 2018, we were told there was going to be a red wave, and there wasn't. Remember how the polls were trying to suggest that? They were trying to say, oh, look at some of them, though. There were a couple that weren't, but they were sort of disregarded as outliers. And you were told that there was going to be this red wave in 2020, and there wasn't. Just cautioning people, you've take them as mere suggestions. But at this point, it's still all about the delegates in Iowa and New Hampshire. And Iowa traditionally goes to whoever electioneers there the most and the best, meaning whoever has the ground game. What's the ground game? That means going to Iowa. That means having, you know, campaign chiefs and street teams in Iowa and hitting all the counties and going to all the town halls and meeting and greeting caucus goers, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. That's what it's all about. And usually the person with the best ground game wins. Now, it's also typically not an indicator of who's going to win the White House, because didn't Cruz win it? And we don't have President Cruz. I mean, you've got a whole history. History is littered with people who've won the Iowa caucus and then never won the White House. Or New Hampshire, never won the White House. South Carolina is where typically the most momentum is already kind of behind the front runner at that point. And when they take that state, that then it's kind of, you know, fait accompli. That's when Clyburn, when he bailed out Biden. Biden literally is president because James Clyburn crowned him. He was losing until South Carolina. He won South Carolina because of Clyburn. That's fact. So Iowa, it's a little different this time because the way that I think the split ticket voting with the Republican Party, which a lot of people, I think, not to say that there hasn't been fraud, but not everything's fraud. And a lot of the instances where you have split ticket voting is because it's split ticket voting and not fraud. The Republican Party still has demonstrated absolutely no inclination at all whatsoever to remedy this issue. They're going to have their clocks cleaned in 2024 unless they do. And it doesn't matter if DeSantis is on the ticket or Trump. Doesn't matter. It literally does not matter. Because if they don't get this settled, if they don't address the problem of trying to appeal and sort of remake this coalition, it's not going to matter. But nobody wants to talk about that because everybody's being so tribal. One thing I want you to realize, too, as we barrel towards 2024, and people are getting so tribal and so nasty, which is kind of typical, a little more so in the past 8 years. Just because you have a different primary choice doesn't mean you're on a different page from someone who also would like to win in 2024 and considers themselves a constitutionalist. It doesn't mean that you love the country any less. It doesn't mean that they love the country anymore, or really that they love the country any less. It doesn't mean any of those things. I mean, we have primaries and the free exercise of this choice for a reason, because we're Americans. We're not a member of the Commonwealth. We don't have a monarchy. We don't have a parliament. We don't do any of that stuff. We're wonderfully, beautifully unique in that regard. And that's very American to celebrate that and exercise those choices. But I will say this, the first priority should be about preserving our liberty in this constitutional republic. Not about preserving someone else, but about preserving your liberty. We don't pledge fealty to individuals and to candidates because, again, not a monarchy. They are supposed to pledge their fealty to you. We've gotten this rule backwards lately, and this is going to be our last chance to fix it. We got a lot more on the way. We got headlines coming up. Some of this other stuff, too, to jump into. New Hampshire, looking ahead at New Hampshire. All of this and more. We're already barreling towards the bottom hour of this first show back. As we do so, we've got, what else? We've got headlines coming up. Stick with us.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So according to the Wall Street Journal, Americans are canceling more of their streaming services. Hulu, Netflix, and other streamers are turning to bundles, discounts, and ad-supported plans as customer defections rise. They say it's harder for them to hold on to their customers because of swelling price tags. And I don't know, just it's weird that there isn't just like a bundle package to get a bunch together. I don't know. Just a lot of people are canceling, though. Animal rights activists, blah, blah, blah. They're looking at going at banning horse-drawn carriage rides in the city in Dallas. They've done this in other places. I when things are done safely and humanely, I have less of an objection. But you guys know me. Yes, I love to go and harvest meat from the woods. However, I also know that, you know, you have to take care of these horses that are doing this. And as long as they're loved and they're being taken care of, I think that that's one thing. But I actually know that that's not really the case with all of these. You got to participate in civics. I'm in the middle on it, you know, because I don't like people. I don't like unnecessary regulation. But at the same time, you guys know I'm just an animal nut, but I love to eat them, too. So it's, you know, like the cute ones. Passengers say that they hoped a time-traveling flight would get them to two New Year's Eves, but they arrived in the wrong year. Wow. Who did this? United Airlines. They were hoping to go back in time for New York to start 2024. It was scheduled to leave Guam on January 1st and land in Hawaii at 6:50 on December 31st, traveling across time zones to take passengers back a year. So it was celebrating New Year's Eve twice, but apparently this isn't new. I mean, this isn't a new thing that flights do. A handful of flights offer customers a chance to do this for New Year's Eve, but they had a delay on this particular flight So they got there like 6 hours later. They totally missed the countdown. How crazy. You know what, Sergio, right? You only get one New Year's Eve. You're not special. You don't need to have two. Just saying. Let's see. Oh, a Chipotle worker was beaten by furious customers who were upset over an extra chicken charge. My shock is that enough people are going to Chipotle to beat someone else up. I don't know. As in North Carolina, a man and woman are being sought for attacking a Chipotle worker after learning that their order of extra chicken would cost more, police say. Jamel Williams and Kayla Price, 36 and 34 years old, respectively, they placed an order. A worker there said that they got the request for extra protein, but it's going to cost more. Look, if you ask for extra chicken, it's going to cost more. You know, you're just not going to get like free chicken. What's the matter with you? Like, it's going to cost more. They got upset over that, you morons. You're too stupid to eat there. Go somewhere else. Average American feels just 70% healthy. And now, because of the Mickey Mouse, now it's like, isn't it the old Steamboat Willie style? I don't think, because you can't have the red shirt on it, but I think you can have the pants. I don't know. Hollywood Deadline, though, says now a Mickey Mouse horror movie trailer is dropping, and they're using the Steamboat Willie version of the character that is now public domain. I got to say, I'm really disappointed in the lack of Winnie the Pooh items now that the trademark dropped over him. Now, he has to be naked. He can't have the red shirt. With Mickey, I better see some good stuff here, too. Stick with us. We got a lot more in store.
Elevate your commute, workouts, or downtime with the Dana Show podcast. Unleash the power of knowledge at your fingertips by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If he picked her, I would tell him I disagreed with him, but then I would support the ticket because he's still the president and the president still makes the decisions. And, you know, I've had a lot of disagreements with Nikki Haley over the years, and I just don't know which Nikki Haley is going to show up every day. She's a different person depending on whatever works for her political agenda. So I just, what I love about President Trump and what I think the American people love about President Trump is that he's just himself.
So that's Nikki. That's Nikki. I almost said Nikki Noem. Oh my gosh. They could just be both sides of the same coin. Kristi Noem, who is taking a hit at Nikki Haley because Nikki Haley's threatening Kristi Noem's VP seeking. Kristi Noem wants to be Trump's VP. She doesn't want Nikki Haley to be Trump's VP. Nikki Haley is also auditioning for VP. And the idea that one of these ladies is more conservative than the other is gaslighting in its extreme. Because Kristi Noem's record when she was in, go and look it up. Don't take my word for it. When she was in Congress, is super moderate. She has a progressive record as a Republican in Congress. That's no joke. She's a very, very moderate, you could say establishment, because she always voted with them. She was a rubber stamp for the establishment every time without fail. So it's weird for her to like try to position herself as though she's super conservative. This was the woman who is also trying to gaslight everybody as to the whole thing with the trans stuff and the female athletes and sports and shutting down. Like, she was going to shut her state down, but her state legislature intervened. I mean, we talked about this before a year ago in detail on the show. And she tried to claim that victory and play upon people not living in her state, so not knowing the day-to-day operations. She was going to shut down her state, and the state legislature acted against her. The Republicans in her state moved against her and prevented it. And she was the one who vetoed that protecting women's in sports, and she got a lot of flack over that. She's, you know, a very moderate Republican. And for her to try to portray herself as, I know she's got a brand new look. She got away from the John and Kate plus eight hair. She got herself some things, new appearances and all this. I'm just saying, she's very different. She's been planning for this for quite some time. So this was a little hit, a jealous hit at Haley, because she doesn't want Nikki Haley horning in on her turf. That's her VP turf. Okay. There's only room for one person on Lewandowski's arm here, okay? Did say that out loud. Don't even care. I don't care. I feel like Ricky Gervais at the Golden Globes. I don't care because I don't ever talk to any of these people. I don't care. I just don't care. I know all about them, but I just don't care. So I can give you it straight. It's true, though. This whole thing with Iowa and New Hampshire, I think I was listening to this. Where's this audio at? Okay. So Nikki Haley was doing well in New Hampshire, which is coming up after Iowa. And Iowa's in, what, 13 days? 12 days now? Yeah. 2 weeks, basically. Yeah. Chris Christie is complicating her path in New Hampshire just a little bit. And so this is him hitting at her. I just think he's in this to just fight with Trump. really. Let's be honest. Chris Christie's just in this to argue with Trump. But this was him hitting out at Haley, audio 7x10. Check it.
And the problem for Nikki Haley is, and it goes to everything she talks about, she doesn't want to offend anybody. Okay, so her whole campaign has been about not offending anyone. I heard her on New Hampshire radio yesterday morning when talking about the slavery Civil War question she was asked. Now her excuse is, I was tired and a little off my game. That means that she didn't have the script that her staff has put in front of her to actually be able to read it.
I just think if you're Nikki Haley, you have to anticipate being asked. And I know this was talked about last week, but I just think you have to anticipate being asked any question remotely related to that, considering the, what happened when you were governor with the statues and all that other stuff and the fight over. You just have to be prepared because it's part of your legacy as governor. And you were in office when all of that was happening and statues were being removed and all of this stuff. So you have to be prepared to answer these questions. And that she wasn't. It's not about, well, I just, it wasn't a gotcha. It wasn't, I mean, it just, you just got to be prepared to handle everything like that. You have to be prepared for whatever, you know, poo people want to throw at you. That's kind of, you don't get to be, I was too tired when you're on the campaign trail. You don't get to make excuses when you're on the campaign trail. You really don't. And something like that it really, to me, how are you Nikki Haley not ready for that question? What was her big fight when she was governor towards the end of her term? It was that, the statues and the Civil War stuff and all of that. I mean, that helped inflate her name to national prominence. So how are you not ready for that question is my question. How are you not ready for it? Now, she had said, audio soundbite 16, that the media are the only people still talking about this. Really? Listen.
So, yes, we know the Civil War was about slavery. That's always the case. And I'll remind you that I was the Southern governor that brought down the Confederate flag after we had a horrific shooting of 9 African Americans that were killed in a church. But, Harris, really, the media is the only one that has talked about this issue.
No, that's actually not true.
Not one person on the ground in Iowa, not one person on the ground in New Hampshire or Iowa are talking about it. I've done multiple town halls.
Remember, she got, when she was asked this question, she was asked what was the cause of the United States Civil War, and then she was giving an answer about role of the government, etc. And then someone else was like, "Well, you know, the town hall attendee was not happy with that response." And then that's when she went, "So what do you want me to say about slavery?" It made her look cranky. And as a woman, that's a hard thing to get over. Because men can look aggressive. And I'm not saying, you know, sexism or whatever. It's just the nature of men and women. Men can be aggressive and they're just aggressive. But if women are dismissive or aggressive, they look bitchy. And they look bitchy because it is viewed universally as being kind of out of the nature of how a woman is supposed to be. Right? And it's hard for women in politics when you are in an elected position to get beyond this. Case in point, Hillary Clinton. Hillary Clinton spent a lot of her husband's gubernatorial campaign. I remember reading all of these pieces when Bill Clinton was running the second time. I was entering college, his second run. I was in high school when he ran the first time. But I remember in college reading these pieces about how people on the left were taking issue with Hillary Clinton because she seemed so unlikable. And there was a woman who said that she had seemed kind of bitchy. It was someone on the right. I can't remember. This was a long time ago. And there was a lot of consternation about that. You know, well, that's kind of mean to, but it's true though. She is like, I mean, even the left was saying that she's just unlikable. If you get that view as being that dismissive as a politician, because as a politician, you're supposed to be representing all the people or seeking to represent all of the people. It's really hard to get over that. And that was, I think, her tone and the way she handled that was just not good. And I'm not saying that, you know, these people are perfect and there shouldn't be, you know, they shouldn't have any mistakes. But this was an easy one for her to not make, is my point. Very easy one for her to not make. Now, with all of this, I'm going to move on because we're talking about all the recent polling, New Hampshire, also some national. Oh, you know what? I wanted to hit the Epstein list. Here's this. Because this was expected. Everyone was waiting for this list to be released. I think now, right? Weren't we all rolling back into the new year? Okay, now there's chaos because Jane Doe 107 has until January 22nd to prove that she would be in danger if she's named. Judge Preska is apparently going to release other, well, they don't know. It's unclear if this judge is going to release the other people's names while this woman's appeal is pending. So this is the list of associates, high-profile friends. It's all been thrown into chaos. It was supposed to 187 names were supposed to be released this week. And this filing by this woman who was named in the court papers as John Doe 107, that's stalled it. So the woman's been granted a 30-day appeal, delaying the release of her name until January 22nd. She has to prove that she would be in danger if her name was published or made public. And some were saying that all the names were going to be released like today. But now it looks like it's going to be delayed. Maybe. We'll see. And of course, everyone's saying Bill Clinton's going to be on this. Everyone's saying that Bill Clinton's on the list. Bill Clinton's on the list. I wouldn't be surprised if he was. It's Bill Clinton, for crying out loud. Would anybody be surprised if he was on this list? I don't think so. So apparently, Doe 107 lives outside of the United States in a culturally conservative country. Italian? Right. I mean, either Middle Eastern or Italian. Maybe. Where else would it be culturally conservative? Like that. Like, what does that even mean anymore? Culturally conservative. Kane and I are over here scratching our heads. Interesting. Russian, maybe? I don't know. Israeli? Are they really, like, would you say that that's a culturally conservative country? I don't know. I feel like you could be a punk band in Israel. That's kind of my rule. Like, can you be a punk band without being totally, like a real punk band, without being totally, so maybe take Italy off the list. I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see. But apparently, if it's not leaked beforehand, 187 names, though. They were all the ones that were mentioned in that 2015 lawsuit by Virginia Guffrey. Mm-mm-mm. But yeah, they said that the attorney said she lives in fear, this Jane Doe, of her name being released. Interesting. So I don't know. Or it could be, Kane says it's a distraction. Okay, what? Tell me.
I'm saying it could be used as a distraction for something else. Never let a tragedy or a potential PR nightmare.
Her name being released or the delay of it?
Well, just the release itself. Or, you know, I just think that, yeah, to me, this is something the government's always done. They'll put something out or let something out that you're like, oh, man. Remember the days when the Jeffrey Epstein Island was actually just a conspiracy theory? It literally was just a conspiracy theory. Like, 18 years ago, and now we're seeing that it's obviously true, and he totally killed himself.
So you're
in jail.
Telling me the aliens are real? Because apparently they're going to get a top briefing.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. I don't have the tinfoil hat on right now, but I wouldn't be surprised.
There you go. All right, we got a lot more on the way. We got Florida Man coming up.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
I threw a link for you in Slack. I need you to put that candy picture up because apparently there's a lawsuit from a Florida woman who's filing $5 million over Reese's peanut butter cups because they were seasonal candy and they were supposed to look like a jack-o'-lantern and they didn't have a face on them. So she's literally suing for $5 million. I know. 18-year-old bought Reese's peanut butter cups in October. The pumpkins. And the package shows a jack-o'-lantern. She said she would not have purchased them if she did not know. And so she pointed out that the other ones also lack this. And so she filed a suit saying that it's a violation of state law. And she's seeking $5 million. $5 million? This is like it's Dr. Evil money.
Show me the losses.
Yeah. How are you actually negatively impacted by this? I'm very curious. Like, where's that at? So that's the first one. If another Florida woman, you know, got into the season of, you know, celebrating her birth and savior, she struck a victim repeatedly with a Christmas tree during an argument, a whole Christmas tree. Her name is Miracle. Of course it is. Miracle Rivera, 20, was arrested and charged with domestic battery after the incident that unfolded in Largo. It was the day after Christmas. She and the victim were in a verbal altercation. They separated from one another. Rivera followed the victim in the living room, picked up the tree, struck them with it. It must not have been a big tree. She's booked into Pinellas County Jail. That must not have been a big tree, honestly. Huh? Or she's a giant, like Titan size, you know, like Attack on Titan, that kind of level. Let's see. This woman hid shell casings from a deadly shooting in her front private area. I think we know what that's called. The Florida woman was charged with evidence tampering and resisting officers after police say she hid gun shell casings in her lady bits that she snagged from the scene of a fatal shooting. According to the police affidavit obtained by Law and Crime, they arrested Destiny Pendleton. So you have Miracle and then Destiny. Oh, golly. I'm made of jokes right now. Let's just try to get through this piece. This is December 27th. They received calls about a shooting at a residence. They found a 37-year-old man injured. He was later identified as dead. She was standing next to his body, and then she tried to hide the four shell casings. You know. And, yeah. I really can't. They just said she. No, I can't read this either. Thought I could. Didn't apparently scroll down far enough. Hang on. Can't read that. Front private area where she had taken them out of her front left pocket and put them in that private area. Yeah. That's. Those poor. God love the police. They have to write that in their affidavit. They have to sit here and write about this lady that.
And they have to retrieve it.
Oh, no. Oh, nasty. I feel like that should be like a whole other charge for grodiness. Like, you get an additional. It's a felony because you're grody. It's a felony. You can't be grody. It's just, no, I'm not going to do it. Some Florida woman lost her whole driveway. Her whole driveway got stolen. I have seen some things in my life. This is new. In Orlando, a Central Florida woman came home. And she had her entire driveway went missing in the middle of the day. Amanda Brochu, Orange County. She literally is not exaggerating. There's just a mud like drive now, just a muddy dirt drive. She said that contractors started coming by measuring her driveway when she put her home up for sale. And somebody came and stole it. Why? An image from her doorbell camera captured a bulldozer tearing out the concrete and hauling it away. Her real estate agent was at a loss for words. They've said, hey, we've never seen this happen to like anybody before. Oh, my gosh. So the Orange County Sheriff's Office is investigating. Why just her driveway and nobody else's? We have a third hour on the way. Congressman Chip Roy joins us, too. Stick with us.
You know, I am involved in bilateral and multilateral meetings with my counterparts from foreign countries in Europe. In Asia, in the Indo-Pacific, all over the world. And migration, the challenge of displaced people, is a subject that comes up in every single conversation. We have the effects of climate change, poverty, increasing level of authoritarianism, the very many challenges that are at the root cause of the displacement of people around the world.
Well, I don't think it's the weather. I think it's probably, if anything, it's maybe the tyranny and the harsh regulations and, you know, the despots and all this other stuff. I think that's probably perhaps why you have people. Oh, and also, you know, just this administration advertising this totally open border. I think that that's really, yeah, and as Juan notes, communism, people fleeing communism, tyrants, all of that. And the money that the government gives out is cane notes. Welcome back to the program. Top of this third hour, at the bottom of the hour, that big old rhino, Congressman St. Jess, Congressman Chip Roy will join us as well to talk about this issue. But that was Mayorkas who's saying that, you know, the reason why you're seeing these people, the deluge at the border, and how many, they said there was one of the caravans was like, I don't know, how many thousands? There's like a new caravan every week. And I think in the span, something like of 3 months, they've had a couple of small towns immigrate over. I mean, the size of, you know, basically a small town here in the U.S. that have immigrated over. Yeah, pretty wild, pretty unbelievable to see this. Nothing's being done. Nothing at all is being done at all about any of it because they want it. This administration wants illegal immigration. They want a totally open border. And you have, I was looking at this, you have Greg Abbott, who has been sending busloads of illegal immigrants to sanctuary cities and states in Chicago, in New York, where else? Tons. He says they're going to continue. We will continue our transportation mission until Biden reverses course on his open border policies. And he says these sanctuary cities have only seen a fraction of what overwhelmed Texas border towns face daily, which is true. So 95,000 people have been transported to sanctuary cities. Chicago, and I think their leadership, and New York and their leadership, they really expected you to put up with their talking a good game about sanctuary status. But the only way they were able to adopt such a belief or a policy or however, I don't think it's a virtue signal. I don't think it's virtuing to break the law, anything to do with virtue. But the only reason they were able to do that and say that is because all of these border towns paid the cost for them. It's welfare. It's progressive welfare. You have Chicago and New York and all of these very affluent blue cities because they got a lot of money. It's just run, you know, horrible with corruption. But all of these affluent leaders, these affluent politicians and these affluent voters like the ones in Martha's Vineyard that had, you know, they had no problem pretending to be a sanctuary town or a sanctuary area, a sanctuary city. They had no issue with it at all whatsoever until they were forced to actually foot the bill for it. And then they turned real stingy, didn't they? Or racist. I mean, we were always told that if you believed in an orderly system of entry into the country, that it was racist. That if you believed in just, you know, checking people's IDs to make sure that they are who they claim that they are and that they aren't using some other form of identification and really they're an axe murderer who's coming into the country, that it's racist to check that. It's racist to even assume that you would need to check it. You're heartless. I remember, and this was under Obama Biden when it started, when they had to separate kids from adults coming in because Obama simultaneously created two problems. He decided to allow every Tom, Dick, and Harry to enter the country. And if you have a kid, then you get the Flores Amendment, then you're going to get fast-tracked to the front of the line if you're coming with a kid. And then you can get expedited through the system and released a lot faster. So these people started, the cartels started a rent-a-kid division. And they, Border Patrol, talked about how they saw the same kid sometimes over and over again. Oh, no, this is my Tito now. This is my family now. Over and over again. And then they ended up losing a whole bunch of them. So they had to separate them at the border because kids then started getting trafficked. The cartels realized, wow, the U.S. government just gave us a major trafficking opportunity. So let's go ahead and exploit it. So they had to separate these kids. They found out that some of the kids coming in with these adults, they did find sex offenders. And they did find kids coming across with sex offenders unrelated to them. Not that it would be any better if they were related to them, but you know what I mean. And then they had to end it. They ended it under Trump because they got a lot of heat for it. I mean, if you were going to have that amendment in the first place to get expedited if you come across with a kid, then you're going to need to stop and make sure suddenly the influx of kids coming in, that this is really, you know, they really are with these group of men that are bringing them with them, right? I mean, you know, it's just totally normal for a big old group of men to bring a little girl in, right? Yeah. Totally normal.
Refugees.
Yeah. You know, maybe they're related or maybe not. I mean, who knows? So they created this problem and then they had to create that separation to deal with it. And then when Trump was suspending the Flores Amendment, you still had people coming over, still thinking it was in effect, and they still had to do the separations. And that's when AOC went down to the border and made this huge stunt about it. Oh, look, I'm going to stand across. I'm going to stand on the other side of this chain link fence. It's really a parking lot on the other side, but we're going to crop the photo and make it look like I'm staring at kids, like a concentration camp. It was so disingenuous and stupid. None of these people complained about Biden and Obama implementing any of these policies that caused any of that. But that's my whole point. They want all of this. They want it. So Chicago, their mayor, they're trying to figure out, okay, what are we going to do? Because he's, what, only been able to run his mouth about this? So he's filing lawsuits against all these bus operators, saying that they're breaking rules about how buses are allowed to arrive and drop off passengers. They call them rogue buses. That's what they call them in their legal filings. They said they're transporting these illegal entrants, and they want to step up the enforcement. They said that they filed 55 lawsuits since the city implemented hastily implemented new rules about when and where buses can arrive. And this was done towards the end of November. And they said they addressed 77 buses that they accused of violating the rules. They're seeking fines against the companies. They want a remain in Texas policy. That is not going to happen. You don't get to claim, because first off, you're also violating the commandeering clause of the 10th Amendment. You cannot, and this is Prince v. U.S., this is a Supreme Court case, the federal government cannot implement a rule and then demand that the state, it's federal policy, and then demand that the state entirely resource it with staffing and finance. You can't do that. You can't take over a state and demand that they implement entirely with staffing and finance your federal policy. That's literally a Supreme Court case. In fact, it's one of the reasons why when they passed in the 90s the Brady Bill for gun control, that was one of the reasons why there were some gun groups that had filed these amicus briefs stating in opposition to the creation of the background check system, because the federal government at the time was stating that this is a federally required policy, but the states are going to have to entirely finance it and staff it. And that was a violation of the commandeering clause within 10th Amendment. So that was what the legal ramifications were. And that's Prince v. U.S. So same thing. You're just changing out the variables. The same thing's applicable here. You can't have a federal policy on immigration and bar these governors, and this goes all the way back to Jan Brewer from Arizona, wrap them up in lawfare if they try to deport illegal entrants, have them under threat of arrest for violating a court order, and go through all of this stuff, and then claim that, okay, well, you have to keep all of these people. We're forcing you to house all of these people in your state. You know what? Here's my response. Well, you can claim that the border isn't open, and we can claim that we're not busing illegal immigrants in. So there you go. Works for me. That works for me. So they want to remain in Texas policy. They expect Texas to keep all of this, to keep everyone that they attract in. And it's not fair. It's welfare. You have a bunch of welfare queens in Chicago and New York who are demanding that border towns and border states foot the bill for their pretend sanctuary. But it's not sanctuary, really. They just want to use... They want to use Texas as basically like a camp by itself, really. But he's not going to stop Abbott, the mayor there, Johnson in Chicago. He's not going to stop Abbott from sending these buses in. So he's trying to carry out lawfare and economic terrorism against the buses and the busing companies who are just doing what they do normally. There's not anything that he thinks that he can lawfare them into stopping to provide these services. That's the goal. That's what he wants to do. I don't know if it's going to work. I mean, I would think that they would have a smart legal strategy against this. It seems easy enough. They didn't cause this issue. The bus companies didn't create this issue. The bus companies did not necessitate the need for even the journey. That was the Biden administration that did all of this. And notice, too, that none of these Democrat mayors had ever anything to say about the Biden administration themselves busing in illegal entrants. Because the Biden administration has done that, too. And that was at the request of Democrat leaders. They did that very quietly and under the rug. Interesting how all that works, isn't it?
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
One of the most underreported stories just of this, well, of recent time, are the ongoing attacks against Christians in Nigeria. Christmas attacks against Christians in Nigeria killed at least 113 people, done by Islamic terrorists, and it continued in the early hours of Christmas Day. They said that more than 300 people were also injured in the attacks that targeted at least 20 communities across a huge region. A lot of the video of the aftermath, people in burned out homes, trying to flee the region in vans, are online. These are all Christian majority villages as well. And so those Christians there in Nigeria, which is number six on the Open Doors World Watch list, is some of the, and it's considered the most dangerous country for Christians, too. They said that the people were wanting to celebrate their Christmas, and they were ended up being attacked. Also, this I'm not going to read that cat headline. A local cat apparently saved a dog. I'm not doing it. A local man is trying to break a Guinness Book of World Records for most hours playing pinball. Whoop-dee-doo. Whoop-dee-doo. Yeah, like it's, you know, nobody cares. Nobody cares. Let's see. Also, Toronto subway e-bike fires. Lithium ion batteries. These are the things you can't bring on the planes, right? Yes. Lithium ion batteries. So they said that they're dealing with fire. Did they just like, wait a minute. Did they just like catch fire? Just boom?
Yeah.
Like all by themselves.
A slight puncture can do it.
Well, don't puncture it.
Right, which is why they don't allow it in checked bags at all.
You have to take it with you?
Yeah.
I didn't even know that. I guess they just don't have anything with a lithium ion battery that I've ever taken on a plane. Anyway, they said that e-bikes in Toronto, this has been a big deal because they said their batteries have been igniting and now the city's questioning the safety of using these. They said that one guy was on a train, Shepherd Young train station. He said there was an e-bike that fully caught on fire. He goes, one of the guy's bikes just started to make noise. And then he goes, it sounded like a flare. And then all of a sudden smoke came out of the bike and people had to evacuate. Some people got hurt because everyone was just running for the door. So now they're reconsidering how they do all the whole e-bike thing. Just good.
So green though.
So green. How dare you? How dare you? Speaking of lithium ion batteries, a cargo ship carrying burning lithium ion batteries reached Alaska, but it was kept, according to the AP, offshore, obviously, for safety. This was in Anchorage. It was a huge cargo ship being kept 2 miles offshore as a precaution while efforts are undertaken to extinguish the flames. They said no injuries, 19 crew above on board, no injuries. They said dude, the fire started on Christmas Day. Christmas Day, still going. Dude. They said that carbon dioxide was released and they're worried about more explosions. That sounds so green. Love how green that sounds. Love that for us. So green. Fa la 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 la. Green, green, green. Right? I'm just saying. Let's see. So on January 2nd, there's a 5 mile per hour speed limit day observed. 50. What's this? 5. Oh, I see. 55. 55. Nobody. That sounds horrible. What is that?
This is the anniversary of when the 55 mile an hour speed limit was introduced federally.
And there's a day of observation for it?
Yeah, apparently it was yesterday.
So, wait a minute. There's a day of observation for government regulation?
Yep. Or
that's
the Sammy Hagar
stupidest thing
team.
I've ever heard.
I can't drive 55.
I don't celebrate government regulations like that. And 55 is way too slow. I'm sorry. It's just too slow. I just feel like I have a really good understanding of how fast my car needs to go on certain roads. Obviously, some roads you can't go full on, but others you can. All right, coming up, a big fat rhino is going to join us. Big rhino McRhino face. Chip Roy. The rhinoest rhino of them all. I mean, at least that's what I'm told by trolls on the internet. He's going to join us. He said, I'm tired of your dumb press conferences about the border. Do something. Stick with us.
Whether you're a policy wonk, a news junkie, or simply someone hungry for insightful discourse, the Dana Show podcast has your back. Follow Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let me identify one fundamental problem here, and that is the fact that we have one governor in the state of Texas who is refusing to cooperate with other governors and other local officials and coordinate efforts to address a challenge that our country, which this country should stand united to address that our country is facing. And it's a remarkable failure of governance to refuse to cooperate with one's fellow local and state officials. But
So that's Alejandro Mayorkas, who's saying that he's trying to go at Abbott and say that, you know, the Texas governor is really a bad governor because of what he's doing with all of these illegal immigrants that have come across the border, and I mean by the thousands, and he's sending them to sanctuary cities and sanctuary states. And he says that it is a remarkable failure of governance. Welcome back to the program. Bottom of this third hour. We were going to have Congressman Chip Roy on, but he's, I guess his people double booked him or something. I don't know what's going on. So we're unfortunately not going to be able to have him on about this, which is sad because we were talking about having him on, but now he's not going to be on. So I apologize for that. But I think his folks double booked, so we are not going to have him. However, the problem still exists at the border. And I know that there are lawmakers that are eager to defend positions on shutting down the government because Biden won't shut down the deluge coming across the border. So that's, I think, a perfectly acceptable trade-off. If you're not going to stop the excess at the border, doesn't it seem like a perfectly reasonable thing then to say, okay, well, then if you're not going to do that, then we're just not going to allow you to. We're not going to fund government. We're not going to continue funding all of this stuff. We're not going to green light your request for this or that. We're not going to do any of it. I mean, that seems perfectly normal. I just, because the border is one of the things that, of all the things that we should be doing, that's it. I mean, making sure that the border is secured, it has to do with a defense issue. I mean, one task that our federal government is supposed to undertake is that of national defense. That's it. So this is, you know, the reason that we have this problem at the border is because of the policy with this administration. You have more people that have entered just in this past December, according to Border Patrol, more illegal immigrants entered than any month in the history of Border Patrol. Than any history. Than any month ever in recorded history. And Alejandro Mayorkas says it's because of climate change. It's warmer down there right now. Just saying. Why would you come up to where it's going? So stupid. This is so dumb. Now, when you have so many people coming across, you think that they would be able to as well deport people. Now, when Jan Brewer tried doing that, they threatened to arrest her. They threatened everything under the sun. You have all these people that go down there and they do these press conferences and they have their, if I'm looking at some more, they have photos, you know, little photos and all this. Bill Melugin said this morning that they have a delegation of 60 House Republicans that are visiting today the border. And they said it's really slow. It's the slowest that he has seen. He said 2 weeks ago, it was the worst that they've ever recorded in history. So they've had all kinds of force multipliers to try to deter the crossing, whether it's razor wire or whether it's whatever. But they are still, they're trying to, one of the things that the Biden administration is doing is sending these illegal entrants, sending the illegal immigrants to different parts. They were there. Mike Johnson was taking photos yesterday because they have this delegation that have been there the past, you know, day or two. And they said that the White House, knowing that the press was going to go and follow House leadership, knowing that the press was going to go and follow the Republican delegation, they ordered Border Patrol to move where they were housing everybody so that they didn't have crowds of people in any photos so that they could say there's not really a problem. Is that not something else? So unbelievable. Unbelievable. The place where they had, I'm looking at, one of the places where they had all of these illegal immigrants waiting. I was trying to find the number of it. I mean, there were thousands, just one day alone. It looked like, you know how when you're approaching to enter into a festival, like a music festival or something? and you have to go through, they have the orange fencing set up and you got to go through all the orange. So it was like that right at the bridge in Eagle Pass, right? And a field full of thousands of people, empty now, because they knew this delegation was going to come and they wanted it all cleared out. They wanted everything cleared out. They didn't want all these people to be standing there. I mean, this is a national security issue. So why would you, this is HR 2. This is, they don't want to fund another damn thing until the border's secured. And they told Border Patrol, I mean, there's video of them now, to clean everything up at Eagle Pass. There's two bridges. One bridge entered, one bridge is the exit. And in between these two bridges, just to give you kind of a lay of the land, that's where you had this field where everybody was put to be processed. And they were standing in these, you know, the zigzag lines. A huge field, thousands of people a day. They said all the reporters, and Bill Malugin is the first, that from morning till night, 24 hours, it's full. We know it's full. We know this. People in Texas have been telling y'all about this for forever. We need, I mean, how many times are they going to go down there to the border to look at things for themselves before they do something? Whether or not another Republican goes down the border, goes to the border and sees it is completely meaningless to me unless they actually do something. I am so disgusted by the Republican Party right now, by the RNC and the Republican Party at large. I'm just disgusted. We have a gutless RNC who's so damn scared of Donald Trump that they won't even have a free and fair primary. We have an RNC that won't even make it to where we have to have debates so we can have iron sharpen an iron. I don't dislike Trump. I dislike the RNC. We have Republicans that are too afraid to vote what they know to be right. And so they kind of sit on their hands. Oh, they'll go down to the border and they'll take photos, but that's about it. Then they come back and they do more of the same. Oh, they act like they're going to stand for principles. Oh, guys, we got rid of Kevin McCarthy. And here we have Mike Johnson, who has the exact same voting record as Kevin McCarthy. Look at us. We're so good. Principles, hashtag. It's a joke. Absolute joke. And then you've got these grifters that are trying to convince you that something's changed. It hasn't. It hasn't at all. Nothing's changed. It's the same establishment running things. The establishment's never not been in charge. They just have more people added to it now. And you know that's true. It is infuriating. So I don't really care about how many more people go to the border. I really don't care. I don't care how many more photos they take. I don't care about their stupid videos. You know why? Because we've seen this over and over again. Yes, we know. Hey, guess what, guys? Oh, you mean there's a lot of people at the border? No. Wow. They're hearing about the impact of the ongoing border crisis. Julio Rosas is down there right now. He's got video. They just seconds ago, they had all these Republicans standing there right at the bridge. Kane noted, what is it? Just in 2023 alone, it's over 290,000.
Actually, that was December's
number. That was
number.
December, yeah. It's over.
I thought that was a yearly number.
Yeah, I was like, no, it's over.
That was a monthly number.
290,000 illegal immigrants that crossed into the country illegally in December. December. 290,000 in December.
I mean, that's nearly a million a quarter. And four quarters in a year. That's not good.
This is the most important issue right now. The most important issue. And how many? And then you got all these Republicans now. Let's go down here again, guys. Let's go down here again. Let's go look. Let's go look and see what's happening, guys. Huh? You know, one of the guys that they caught? One of the Border Patrol chiefs, Jason Owens. He's the 26th chief of Border Patrol. He was saying they took into custody. This is just one example. This guy from El Salvador, right? Do you know he was sentenced previously in El Salvador to prison because of pedophilia? Because the guy was convicted of sexual contact with a child. They gave him 3 years in prison. Really? 3 years? So then he illegally entered the country. Now, imagine That's just one guy that they apprehended. How many people are they not apprehending? You know how the gotaways. What are their backstories? Hell, you may not even know the backstory of the people that they actually do process in, because so many of the IDs in that are counterfeit. You just don't even know. Mayor of Eagle Pass is a Democrat. He said that Biden is ignoring his city. He says that their city is being, quote, slammed by thousands of illegal aliens coming across the border. I'm going to say one other thing, and you can get mad about it if you want. New year, new me, maybe. Yeah. I saw this, the primary. We had one of the candidates talking about building the FBI a new and spectacular building, which shocked me because it was a candidate whose campaign was directly targeted by the FBI that colluded with the DOJ to get an illegal and fraud FISA warrant to spy on his campaign. And he wants to build a new and spectacular FBI building. How about building a new and spectacular wall, or a new and spectacular border patrol, or new and spectacular border integrity? We don't give a rat's ass about an FBI building, especially considering, I mean, what would the J6 people say to that? That are actually in detention still. Curious. I don't want to hear about any new and spectacular federal buildings when I see this hot mess at the border. Oh, don't tell me that somebody tried. I don't believe it. You can't legislate by executive fiat. You got to lead, and you got to have Congress make it permanent, like tax cuts, which should have been permanent and weren't. Yeah, I got issues. And stupid little town halls by networks covering their backsides because they realize they sort of stepped in it by scheduling one of their town halls on a debate night. It's not going to cut it. Not going to cut it. So I don't do resolutions. I hate New Year's. I just think I'm going to let the burning bridges light my path forward from here on out, because I don't care. I don't give a rat's ass about trying to kiss up to anybody in a network. I don't care about trying to make friends with anyone in DC. I hate all of these people. And I don't say that for the lack of a better word. I truly don't like them. I don't like any of these people. I don't care about your stupid DC stuff. I don't care about your elbowing and trying to be all popular with contributors and all of that stuff. Been there, done that. Don't need to do it again. Don't want to do it no more. That's why I always say no. Don't care. I care about being left alone. I care about the future of the country. I care about the state of the 2024 election. I care about actually winning. Anything that bars a win is an obstacle and a problem and should be obliterated. That is how I look at it. So let the burning bridges of 1,000 fires, let the fires of all these burning bridges light our path going forward. Otherwise, I really don't have, I hate New Year's. And I'll add one thing. And I said something about this on Facebook, I think. I'm a little bit optimistic, I think. Just when you think if the news is heavy, and it will be, it's going to ebb and flow. If it feels heavy, you know, going into this 2024 news cycle, I want you to consider this, that we are very lucky to have all been placed on this rock by a grand designer. And if not us, then who? And if not now, then when? So I don't say have faith in your fellow man. I will never tell you that, because I have faith in no man. But have faith in the plan from the grand designer. We have a awesome God, and that's what your faith should be in. So think about, you know, we're all here on this rock together at this exact time, having been placed here. I'm just saying, there's, you know, take heart in that, because I, you know, I trust myself to kind of TCB. I think you kind of do too. So maybe there's something to that. So just feel a little optimistic. And I say this as somebody who's never optimistic. So the battle's been won. So it's going to be, we're going into Iowa, and this is just day one of a new year. So just get ready, folks. Buckle up. And most importantly, have fun with it.
Follow Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, because knowledge is your ultimate superpower.
In hindsight, how lucky am I that I got to see one of the greatest artists of my time immersed in one of his most challenging processes ever. Very lucky to have seen that. But as it was happening, I was very disappointed. Because I wanted to meet Jim Carrey, and I had to pretend as Andy Kaufman all afternoon. And he was clearly Jim Carrey. I could look at him and I could see he was Jim Carrey. Anyway, I say all that to say, that's how trans people make me feel.
Golly, I love it. It's true. I mean, that's exactly it, except I wouldn't prepare. I would or pretend. I wouldn't pretend with it. That's Dave Chappelle's new stand-up where he and Ricky Gervais, they both released new specials, and they're both getting slammed for it. And it's hysterical. That was a funny joke. All right. It's our first show back in 2024. We're excited because we got so much more tomorrow. All the rest of the year. King, what we got for today in stupidity?
All right, it's Alejandro Mayorkas.
Oh.
He was asked in the month of December, I mean, more migrants. We broke records larger than any other month in history. What is happening? And here's his response. Listen.
No, I am involved in bilateral and multilateral meetings with my counterparts from foreign countries in Europe, in Asia, in the Indo-Pacific, all over the world.
What's the problem?
And migration, the challenge of displaced people, is a subject that comes up in every single conversation.
Say it.
We have the effects of climate change.
Oh, there it is.
Poverty.
There it is.
Oh,
climate change.
Displaced people.
That's what it is.
Folks, it's good to be back. Make sure you sign up for the newsletter over at Substack, Chapter and Verse. Find us on Facebook, YouTube. Like and subscribe. I'll be back behind the mic with you tomorrow.